by Sir Peter Maxwell-Davis, sung there by the BBC singers under Simon Jolly. And under Stephen Clearbury, they're giving the lunchtime programme of chamber music from Manchester this coming Friday, the venue, the Music Theatre of Manchester University. At, was it 3 minutes past one? Yeah, 3 minutes past one. You're all most welcome, and the concert is free. 8 minutes past seven. Well, with northern sounds in our ears, it's a good moment to introduce my guest tonight, the composer Nigel Clarke, who has several important airings of his music coming up in the coming weeks on BBC Radio and in concert halls, including an intriguingly titled work, The Pendle Witches, which will be premiered by the Black Dyke Mills Band next Sunday in Manchester as part of the 1996 BBC Festival of Brass. Nigel is currently composer in residence to the Black Dyke Mills. Welcome to In Tune.
Good evening.
Though I have to say, you were born a lot further east of Manchester.
That's right, Calcutta, India, but I only lived there for about 12 weeks. Unfortunately, I have no memories.
Have you any roots in northern music, in the northern music world?
Well, not in the northern music world. I started off as a boy cornet player in brass bands when I was age 12, so I suppose it's in my heart.
And studies in London?
I studied at the Royal Academy of Music in London under Paul Patterson there.
And was that what led you to Polish music?
Well, I think Paul's enthusiasm sort of certainly pointed me into that direction, but I didn't need that much enthusiasm because it was such great stuff anyway.
You came certainly by the back door to composition. When did you actually write your... When do you acknowledge to writing your first piece?
Well, I suppose the first piece that I wouldn't mind being performed now dates back to 1985, and there's some patchy years where I still don't like pieces being performed from that era. But I suppose once we get to about 1990, things started picking up from compositionally.
What took you into that world from being a cornet player? It sounds almost like an accident.
Not an accident. It's something I always wanted to do and perhaps something I always thought I wouldn't be able to do. And I think I never have made a great trumpet player or cornet player, and I always loved writing music. And, you know, my real ambition was to go to the academy and study and do it properly. I certainly studied, and I hope I'm beginning to do it properly now.
Well, you're certainly getting some exciting commissions. You had a period, I gather, in Hong Kong, which awakened all sorts of interest in Eastern music.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I was what they called Young Composer in Residence at the Hong Kong Academy for Performing Arts, which was a fantastic year, living on a little island called Chung Chow and experiencing all sorts of different sound worlds of Chinese music and Oriental music in general. So that was really quite fascinating.
And was that how this piece we're going to hear now resulted? Although it's Japanese, it's a very different culture.
Well, I always like to have good, firm subjects with everything that I write. And Timothy Rhenish at the Royal Northern College of Music was taking his wind ensemble to Japan. He commissioned the work. So I started thinking about a Japanese subject. And with a little bit of research, I came up with the idea of basing the whole piece on Japanese drumming. And there's an amazing performing ensemble called Kodo in Japan. I think they were formed in 1981. And that was the inspiration behind the piece. So to having the drums sort of working away within the wind band, almost like a turbocharged wind orchestra.
Wonderful way to describe it. It's called Samurai. Let's hear a little of it now.
Thank you.
Fantastic. That's blown a few cobwebs away. And if you'd like to hear the work in full, Samurai, by my guest composer Nigel Clark, it's being broadcast at 1 o'clock on Radio 3 on the 19th of March. And I believe it's having a performance the following month in New York.
I believe. And then back in Japan again, I think.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wind bands, now brass bands. You're midway through your three-year residency as composer to the world's most famous band, the Black Dyke Mills. What sort of a challenge was that, becoming its composer in residence?
Quite an awesome one, really. Mm. I mean, I knew about brass. I knew about the Black Dyke Mills Band when I was a young boy. I knew of their awesome reputation, and then to suddenly come up as a Southerner and stand in front of them and present your music, I was quite nervous in those early days, but found them to be actually very warm people and very helpful to me as a composer. And now, of course, they're very good friends.
This is something new for the brass band world, a composer in residence. What's the object of it?
Well, the idea is, I think it's a two-way thing, that I think brass bands in general must have a new classical music. You can't just rely on music that's been written from the past. You can't just rely on arrangers arranging famous classics from the past. I think you've got to make it have some sort of continuity and have some sort of line of composition going into the future. So it has a future. I think if it just stays stationary, it will die like a dinosaur. And certainly with bands like Black Dyke, they're so good and so tremendous as players, they need new challenges, otherwise they'll get bored.
So how successful has your mission been to attract young composers to writing for brass bands?
Well, we're hopefully just about to start to do that. I mean, I've written the three pieces now for Black Dyke, and what we're hoping to do quite soon with the Society of Promotion of New Music is to set up a brass band day. We're hoping to do this in October, where young composers will be able to write for the Black Dyke Mills Band. Obviously, we'll have to choose a certain amount of work to be workshopped that day, and we'll try out those works, which see if we can improve them for the young composers, and to show classically orientated young composers that there's also a world of brass out there dying for new music.
Why is there still this division between the two worlds? I mean, when you hear the performances, as we're about to do, by bands like the Black Dyke, I mean, there's a few symphony orchestras in the world who can match it.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I think a very good example of which would show how walls or borders can be broken. Black Dyke Mills run a brass band course at Camford Summer School of Music. It's been going 2 years, and it's got to the stage now where orchestral players, vocalists, string quartets, whatever, all go to the Black Dyke Mills brass band course concert. The brass band players themselves also go to all the other concerts, and there's a real breakdown of barriers and respect on both sides. So I could see this thing really building in the future, and it should do. It's part of our culture.
Well, I hope people are tempted to come along next Sunday to hear this world premiere of your new work, which we'll talk briefly about now before you go. The Pendle Witches. You always come up with intriguing subjects.
Well, this is quite a juicy one. It's quite a sad story, really. It's a witch trial that happened in 1612. It was documented, and unfortunately this trial led to 10 local inhabitants of Pendle in Lancashire being executed. And what I've tried to do in this piece over about 15 minutes is chronicle the whole series of events from the first accusations of witchcraft through to the trial, and then unfortunately sentenced to death and execution at the end. And it really is tailor-made for Black Dyke, you know, really as virtuosic as I could make it, with the player's request, that is, by the way.
And interestingly, you've actually written it on the band yourself.
Oh, yeah.
With their help.
This is one of the great things. James Watson, when he helped set up this composer in residency, he wanted me to work with the band. So 3 weeks ago, he said, right, go and take a week of rehearsals with them. So we did two rehearsals, and I stood in front of them, and now and again, there's some very good suggestions from the band, which improved the piece no end. And hopefully next Sunday will be the culmination of a partnership between them and myself, and conducted by James.
very best of luck with it. And I hope you get
much.
A terrific audience. You deserve it.
Thank you.
For the world premiere of Pendle Witches next Sunday in Manchester's Whitworth Hall at 7:30, part of the 1996 BBC Festival of Brass. We obviously can't play any of that yet, Nigel. We thought we'd end our little conversation with a performance of Atlantic Toccata, the first piece, really, that got
right.
you off on your residency with Black Dyke.
Mm, that's right. It's built around the subject of the Standing Stones in Callanish on the island of Harris in the Hebrides, and it's a piece of ritual and, you know, pagan rites, that type of thing.
Of my guest, Nigel Clark's Atlantic Toccata. And I hope that intrigues you to go along and hear his world premiere of The Pendle Witches, 7:30 next Sunday night at the Whitworth Hall here in Manchester, part of our BBC Festival of Brass. More power to them. All welcome, no tickets required to that. To our finale on In Tune.